Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. Now, here's Justin.
Yes, thank you. This is Reading the Word. Let's go ahead and get into it. What are we doing? We're beginning a brand new study with today's installment, and it's going to take us a little while to get through here because there's a lot of material that I'm wanting to cover with this study, so I hope you do have your Bible. I'm going to be reading from the King James Version of the Bible. I want us to talk specifically about Noah and the Ark. There are many great lessons that we can learn from this story, although it's usually put in the children's story category, yet there are many things that we as adults that we can learn. But before we get, because Noah's recorded really in Genesis 6, 7, 8, and 9, although he's mentioned in the 5th chapter, and mentioned a lot in the New Testament as well, I feel for us to better understand Noah, we need to quickly start in the beginning. And so with that, let's read the Word. We're going to actually start on page 1, at least in my Bible, and I'm sure in yours as well. I'm talking about Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, because the Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." You see everything you need to know in this verse. Time, when, the beginning. Who, God, what did he do? He created, and the object, heaven and the earth. Now, when we're looking at Genesis, Genesis literally means the beginning. And so what we'll see, especially in the first handful of chapters, Genesis chapters 1 through 11 has often been called the preface or the beginning of the Bible story, because Genesis chapter 12 is where we get to Abraham, and then we know kind of how the rest of that line continues from there. But Genesis is the book of first, and so literally in verse 1, God literally breathed. That's the same word for inspired or inspiration that we see in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, where Paul tells Timothy that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Verse 17, it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped, thoroughly furnished, and do every good work. So God here in Genesis chapter 1, he is literally speaking everything into existence. And we're going to kind of overview very quickly what happened on these days. Day 1, God creates light and dark. Now the question becomes, what existed before God spoke it, spoke the world into existence? Well, God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit all existed. We'll look at that here at the end of this chapter. But nothing else. God creates everything. There was nothing before God. God literally created also the first day. He created light and dark. Then the next day, he creates clouds and he creates oceans. That's day 2. That starts in verse 9. Through verse 13, on the third day, God creates the sun, the greater light to rule the day, the moon, the lesser light to rule the night, and also the stars. So we had light and darkness for 2 days before there was any source of it. You want to tell me this world just happened by an accident, as the way the atheists say with the Big Bang Theory? Then how do we have light for 2 days with no source of light except that it could come from God? On the fourth day, which begins in Genesis chapter 1, well, I turned my page too quickly, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 19, in the evening and the morning were the fourth day, God creates the land, and God creates plants, and God creates trees. The fifth day, God creates fish, and he creates birds. And on the sixth day, God creates man, that be Adam, and all of the animals. And on the seventh day, God rested. And you may have met somebody that will say to you, "Friend, don't you believe that the world was created?" And you'll say yes. And they say, "But don't you know each day was 1,000 years? And you say, "Where do you get your basis from?" Genesis chapter 1, verse 5, verse 8. Verse 13, 19, 23, and 31 tells us something very specific. It says, "And the evening and the morning were thee," and then it says, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, or sixth day. Why is that important? That means it is a literal 24-hour period. And you say, "Brother Justin, why didn't it say the morning and the evening were the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth day?" And I'll tell you, because they weren't using the same way that we start our days. For us, our day begins at midnight. But under the Hebrew calendar, their day started at sunset. So the evening and the morning. Now, here's your two quick fun facts before we move on to chapter two. Three quick fun facts before we move on to chapter two. First off, your first color that is ever mentioned in the Bible is the color green. Genesis 1:30, to every beast of the earth, to every fowl of the air, to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And that verse is going to come in handy when we continue our study here in a little bit. Your second fun fact, when people say, well, how old is man? That's an age-old question. I'd say people have been asking for quite some time now. Are you ready for the definitive biblical answer that I, Justin Reed, here on Reading the Word, am ready to tell you? Are you ready for it? Man is younger than the earth by 5 days. The earth was created, and then 5 days later, man was created. So we're pretty old. Not as old as the earth, not as old as the clouds, not as old as the sun, moon, and stars, not as old as the land, plants, and trees, not old as fish and birds. We're the same age as animals, and we're 5 days younger than the earth. And our last thing I want us to look at is in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. The Bible says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over all the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Why are we looking at this verse? What did God say? God said, let us. Us is plural. Why is God speaking in the plural form? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. People say that Jesus Christ was a created being that came to be born in Bethlehem, and they're lying to you because Jesus Christ was there in the beginning. Let us make man in our image. So, verse 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Well, I think we should pause here. We've got a quick break. Hope you'll join me on the other side of this break as we will continue picking up in Genesis chapter 2 here on Reading the Word.
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Thank you, Wara. Back reading the Word. Let's pick up in the Word in Genesis chapter 2, because the first three verses really should go with chapter 1, but they put the chapter break. Of course, chapters were not in it when it was originally written by Moses, some 2,500 years after these events happened. But chapter 2, starting in verse 4, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth which were created in the day the Lord created. The Lord God made the earth and the heavens, every plant before it. God talks about how there it's not raining. It had never rained up until the time of Noah, which is the eventual context of our study. We probably won't get to him today, but it had never rained till the time of Noah. And so it's watered by a mist of the earth. It's funny, people go back and they'll try to theorize all sorts of crazy things about the first 11 chapters of the Bible. And I think they haven't read the first 11 chapters of the Bible because the Bible explains it all. It's all there. We just have to actually grab it. As we continue, verse 17 of chapter 2, in the Garden of Eden there are four rivers, which is important for us to note. Verse 15, God takes the man, puts him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. So man had a job. Man was originally a gardener. He was to upkeep the Garden of Eden. Now when you look at the word Eden, you may have heard the English word paradise. Maybe you've been to a place and it's paradise in the name, or you can recall a place that makes you think of a modern-day paradise. Well, the Septuagint, which is an early translation of the Old Testament, translates Eden as paradisos, which is where we get our word for paradise. Verse 17, among all the trees in the Garden of Eden, it says, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And it's so important for us. God said, you can eat of every tree, including the tree of life, which was of the verse previously before that, but you can't eat of this tree. So, What does Adam do? God makes Adam name every animal. If you ever wondered why are they called aardvarks and zebras, and why are giraffes called giraffes, and okapis called okapis, why is a platypus called a platypus, why is a rhino, you get where I'm going. Why is every animal called that way? Because that's the name that Adam gave to it. Verse 20. And God gave names to all the cattle, to all the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. After every animal has paraded in front of Adam, Adam realizes that there's not a duplicate that looks like him. There were multiple lions, multiple hippos, multiple elephants, multiple flamingos. You name any animal, there were multiple of them. But there was only one thing that looked like Adam. That tells me right there that we're not evolved from a monkey. We are created in the image of God. So, verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh thereof. This is the first surgery we have recorded. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and he brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave unto his wife, they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Now it says, when he brought her to the man, verse 22, that could also be translated as he married them, the first marriage ceremony. That's one of the, that is the oldest institution in the world, is the marriage, a covenant between man and wife to live faithfully before God. God takes a rib. It's often said that he took a rib because that means they're equal. If he had taken something from the head, then the woman would rule over him. And if he took something from his foot, then he would rule over her and make her only be subject to him without any care for her at all. But when they took the rib, they are to go through this life side by side, hand in hand. Verse 24 is one of the most quoted passages out of the book of Genesis. And as we continue our study in chapter 3, verse 1, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Satan enters the scene, appearing as a serpent. I find it interesting that Eve talks to the serpent as if talking serpents were a normal thing, and people try to get all bent out of shape over this. Here's my explanation. Are you ready for it? She's in the presence of God, communicating with God the Father directly. When you talk directly to God, a talking serpent is just an ordinary day for you. Am I right? So notice, what did God say back in chapter 2 and verse 27? You shall, when you eat of it, you shall surely die. What does Satan add? One word. He adds the word not. And he says, thou shalt not surely die. So Eve eats, verse 6. She gives it to Adam, says, honey, look, I have found this. I want you to note, Satan does not appear to Adam and Eve, because he knew he couldn't pull the wool over both of their eyes, but he knew in this moment of weakness that he could get Eve. Satan knows how to tempt. Sadly, he's good at his job. So he gets them to eat. Their eyes are opened, and they realize that they are naked. And that's a problem. They'd been fine up until this point, but they realize they're naked, and so they make themselves tunics out of basically fig leaves, kind of more like a smock or an apron. They're hiding from God. The Bible says they hear the voice of God walking among the garden, which I cannot fathom, but I wish that I could. God says, where are you? And then God notices, God already knew what they had done, but God starts asking questions to get them to realize that they had made a mistake. We're going to have to end our study here for this week. I hope you will join us next time as we continue reading the Word. Until then, may the good Lord bless you and keep you.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury.